laid something on my heart that I preached on at Cape Town earlier the year. And I feel it's really in season for our church, especially looking back at where we were last year. We looked a lot at grace. What is grace? How can we be saved? Jesus coming down to us, saving sinners, having grace on us. We didn't deserve it. Now going forward this year, a lot of our focus goes now into going out, making a difference where we're at, and also focusing further on. And I find this message kind of central, or maybe more in the start blocks of this year. Before we go, before you pray, Lord, where must I go? Before I get busy, I see a picture of an athlete getting into starting blocks. And if your heart tonight is to change, to become more like Christ, you're at the right place. I also find the last time, I don't know, Ross, how you experience it, but people come to church because they want to be changed. They come to church for the real stuff. The time is, people don't come anymore to hear a good message. They want to change. They want the real thing. So I really hope that tonight, if we put our faith together, you will change and I will change. I just want to pray for us. Lord Jesus, we just honor you tonight. We just thank you for the wonderful works, Lord, that you've done. Thinking on the cross, Lord. Dying on the cross, thinking of us, Lord. Pleading our case. We just have so much respect for you, Lord. We just know what we are is a gift. And Lord, let that mindset be in us, Lord. That was also in Christ, Lord. Humility, Lord. Willingness to connect with others, Lord. Like Ross said, Lord, people that can give us nothing, Lord. Lord, let that mind be in us. Let that heart be in us, Lord. A heart for the nation, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. I just want to thank my chauffeur and wife for bringing me here. Janae, I'm safe. Whew. There was a few close calls, but I made it at the end. Okay, we want to be different as Christians. Am I right? We want to be different than the world. But very importantly, we don't merely want to act different. Acting different is important, but not acting only. Just think about this for 1 second. If you take, I've been on a farm and I've seen a duck thinking it's a goat because he lives with the goats. He protects the little goats. So that is a duck acting like a goat, but it's not a goat. Okay? So Christians, we do not only want to act different in the world. We want to be different. In the innermost of our being, we want to be different. People must look at us and think, wow. Something different. Something fresh. Anyone can act nice. Anyone can be friendly. But if we allow the Lord to change who we are in the deepest part of us, we will truly be different. Acting is part of it. But I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. And then I want to be straight. If your desire here tonight is to change, God will live up to your expectation. If you say, Lord, make me more than you, more like you, He will hear your prayer. If your desire is, if you feel, another thing also I want to give an outcome straight at the start so that you can think about this. If you're a Christian tonight and you feel that often Christianity is very burdensome. It's very, some of the things, you do it because you know you must, but it's really hard on you. I want to tell you there's a way to get that burden off your back. And it's got to do with changing. Because I want to excite you right now. And you can just pray a silent prayer. Say, Lord, this about Christianity, it's too much for me. I don't know if I can make it to the end. Maybe there's a relationship. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your dad. But if there's something that pulls you down, there's hope. Amen. So, I'm talking tonight about a mind reset. I'm going to jump into Romans 12 verse 1. If you've got your Bible here, you can follow with me. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now if we go one slide on, I just underline some words just to help us here. What is it to be conformed? What does it mean? Transform. What is the renewal of the mind and why? What is wrong with the human mind is another question that I'm going to try and answer tonight. What is the will of God? You see, all of those, this is a very juicy piece of scripture, and I think you can probably teach 50 sermons on it. But if you look at it, it all comes down to this, that you, by testing, may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable, because we want to glorify Him. We want to walk as ambassadors of Christ. So what we do and how we change ourselves, it's not just to change. It's not just to be different. Now I wear dark hair, now I wear white hair. Okay? We want to change so that we can know what the will of God is and walk in it. So what is the will of God? The will of God is not some vague, misty term. Sometimes we use the term very loosely in our words. We say, yeah, that's the will of God for me. This is not the will of God. Let's just look at it. The will of God is not easily defined. Firstly, there's the sovereign will of God. What is the sovereign will of God? It works more or less like this. If God wants to do it, it happens. Will Jesus come back? Yes, He will. Will the enemy end up in the eternal pit? Yes, He will. Nothing you and I can do or say or act or even sin can change the sovereign will of God. It will come to pass. We can shout. We can stand on our heads. The sovereign will of God will happen without fail. And that's amazing in a certain way. God will not be defeated. But then there's the revealed will of God, which is a bit different. Thou shalt not murder. You shall not covet. Husbands, love your wife. Wife, submit to your husband. It goes on and on and on. The revealed will of God. Was it God's will that David sinned with Bathsheba? It was not the will of God, but it did happen. So we see here there's a different play. There's subtle balls in a way that gets passed to us, and we can drop it. It doesn't mean that God is not powerful. He is sovereign. But the revealed will of God, maybe you can describe it, it's the love part, where He wants us to respond in love. And we can drop that ball. The revealed will of God often fails in my life and in yours. And then we get, this is just my words, the spontaneous godliness or the spillover. And this is actually where I want to get to tonight. 90% of your day and my day, we don't think of what we're going to do. It happens. We meet people along the road, on the pavement. We don't decide, am I going to be friendly to this woman or not? No, you're friendly or you're not. You don't carry a list with you. Remember when I go to Pick and Pay to greet the lady behind the desk? No, you just go and you either greet or not. When you're in traffic, you either smile. It happens. I guess about 90% of your life is not premeditated. It happens. But even the spillover or that spontaneous living can glorify God or not. All right? Now, if we have to work with a list in number C, spontaneous godliness, life will be very tough. Very tough. So we cannot act in certain ways. We need to change in the innermost being. We need to be what? Transformed into another image, more like God. So that when we walk and when we're busy with daily life, just going along, we are spilling over salt, godliness. But for that, we need to change. We can't learn that behavior. Do you agree with me? So, why transform? And this is where I help a lot of you, because it helped me a lot. I want to make a statement. It's a lovely little sketch. Even if I must say so myself. I want to say something that might be very profound to you, or maybe it's old news. But I want to say this. The Christian man or woman, the God-fearing individual, can be either in slavery or free. Okay? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Sometimes we think that the moment we are saved, we are free. In an eternal perspective, I will agree with you. But the Christian man and woman can be in slavery. When are you in slavery? When the whole time, you and I must do what we don't want to do. The whole time. Christianity is a burden. I don't like to go to church, but I go. I don't like to pray, but I do. Now, there's some honor in that. At least there's a commitment towards God. But that's not really, really freedom. Isn't that true? So how do the Christian man step out from a place of trying to do the will of God, and in a way slavery, to become free? The Bible makes a very strong case for freedom, and I want to go to the following scriptures. Galatians 5 verse 1. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. When I was young, my view of Christianity was not healthy. Slavery might be a bit of a harsh word, but the word in my head was constraint. It keeps me from being free. It keeps me from living. It keeps me from doing what I want to do. Is there anyone that felt like that at some stage in your life? Okay? I want to go on before I start speaking on this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This is interesting. God wants us to be free. But the trick comes in here. If this is the world and its behavior, okay, this is a long list. The mere avoidance of this list and trying not to do that is not transformation. It's called avoidance. Okay? So when we step into relationship with God and all we try and do is to avoid what we should not do, we will be in slavery. Because actually we want to do what is in that list. But when we become transformed, when we allow God to change us on the inside, what we want to do will change. And what we do will be what we ought to do. And when Christ comes back, there will be a reward for that. So it's very important for every Christian to give himself to God for this process of transformation. God, change me. I want to do this. I want to belong in the world in some sense, in honesty. But change me, because I want to serve you. I want to be a changed man. And just think about this. I was just thinking about my own life. Driving in my car. And then I go past this young girl that's still in school. And my heart just starts burning. And I said, Lord, how are they going to be pure until they marry? It's almost like there's no chance. The way they dress, the way they live, the way they go. And then maybe in university, Lord, this man, he's got so much potential. How's he going to find you? Now, I never used to think like that. I didn't care. So that's just an example. When we come to Christ, our desires change. My desires change for other people. 10 years ago, I didn't mind where you go, as long as I'm fine, okay? But when we give our hearts to God to transform, He changes us. It's like He takes the wires on the inside. And the things we desire change. The way we look at others change. And once we start with that process, there's a freedom coming our way. Like, you want to do what you ought to do, and that's freedom. Amen? That's just the introduction. So that's just another very nice sketch. If we want to be free, we need to transform. Transformation is like the aim. But let's just go back to that first scripture. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So renewing of the mind becomes the key here. If we want to be transformed, that is our goal. Lord, make me new because I suck. Then the renewing of the mind is where we want to focus on. So let's just move on to the renewing of the mind. Now, what is wrong with the human mind? The world says this. Education. That is the problem. People are not educated. So what they're saying is this. If you teach people about AIDS, they won't have sex. That's what they're saying. Tell them about the sickness, and there'll be less. But is the problem of man knowledge? I differ. I think scripture is clear that the problem with man is not that he's finite or that he doesn't have enough knowledge. His problem is that he's fallen from God in sin. That is man's problem. So, I do think education is important, but our biggest importance is this. We must come to know Christ. That is the biggest problem of the world, and I'm sure you agree with me. Now, Ephesians 4 verse 23 says something very interesting. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Now, what in the world is the spirit of your mind? That was very interesting for me. Does your mind have a little counselor called the spirit? And wherever you go, he's like, he's there. Another Bible is saying, renew your spirit of your mind. It's not like renew your spirit. Renew the spirit of your mind. Very interesting. I think what Paul is trying to say here is at least this. Your mind has got something in my mind called a mindset. It's set in a certain way. Like pre-programmed to perceive things a certain way. And it's very clear that the human mind does not have the capacity to take information absolutely objectively and display it back for the appropriate emotional response. That is not possible. Because our mind has got this thing, a spirit that needs to be renewed. And this, I was looking forward to this. I did this in Cape Town as well. I want 4 volunteers, please. Is it possible? Any 4. You must have loud people in this church. Thank you. Conrad's number 1. Oh, here we go. I want to illustrate the point here, and I want to use one goal. Just one goal. I need a goal. Fantastic. Now, what I'm going to illustrate here, actually, you'll see for yourself. Now, these 4 people here, they are going to see exactly the same thing. They're going to be walking in a park, okay? That's just to give you guys a picture. And they're seeing 2 people kissing, okay? That's normal. It's normal. You see worse things in South Africa, okay? So, what is your name?
Anay.
Okay, well, Anay, I'm going to give you just a personality, each of you. And I want you to look through the eyes of your personality and tell me what you are seeing and what you are experiencing, okay? Anay, how old are you?
22.
Are you married? No. Fantastic. Okay, so Anay is just who she is, okay? 22, waiting for the perfect man. He's going to come away any day now. And your greatest desire is to get married, okay? Conrad, you don't want anything to do with relationship because you got dropped for the 7th time and you just had it up to here, okay? Heinrich, you are 95 years old. Okay. You don't do the voice. You don't have to do the voice. Just the frame of mind. And you lost your wife like 2 years ago, and your heart is really broken when you see relationships. Okay. Your name is Albert. You're just madly in love. Okay. Okay. So I want you just to imagine seeing the couple. It's a guy and a girl. Okay. I know this is Cape Town, so I'm just stating it's for. Okay. Just voice emotions. What do you think? Okay.
Oh, this is sweet. Oh, where are the guys in my life? When is it my turn? Seriously. Oh, that's nice. Ew. No, okay. No.
Oh, that's going to fail.
Oh, man, I really miss my wife. These kids of these days, you know, they don't know how to look into a woman's eyes. If I could just have my wife back, I'll be able to show them how to really love a woman. Yes, I'm missing my girl at this moment.
Okay, so very simple. When we look at things, we look at different ways. When you are sitting today, things happened in your life. Some of it was really great. Some of the things your parents imported in your life is fantastic. Some of us grew up without parents. We are fashioned in different ways. And when we see and when we perceive, even with God, we look through certain glasses. And our perception is not accurate. And if we humbly accept that fact, we're halfway there. If we can come to a place where we say, Lord, my plans is not great. I don't have things figured out. Help me. Then we're there. You know, there's a new thing going around. And it's sad to say, I see it in our church as well. I don't think it's in Tigerberg. But, no, honestly, it's more maybe to the coastal sides, you know, with the coolness, really. In any case, no, listen, hear me out here. Christianity has become a cool thing. And I know Christians that have been serving the Lord for many years that start smoking. And they honestly feel that they are serving Christ in it because they are mixing now with the smokers and the drinkers. And they get drunk on weddings. It's show for people. Because we've become so smart in our minds, we've got it all figured out. When we look and when we make decisions, things go bad. Constantly we need to say, Lord, I submit my mind to you. Help me, because I don't know. Especially if your wife, your husband, he knows a lot more than you. I'm just joking, okay? Now, I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. The word says that the carnal mind is enmity against God in Romans. Our minds, in a natural state, will always reject God. Always. In its fallen state. So if you sit here tonight and you have received Christ at some time in your life, this is what happened. Someday God's grace came your way and He opened your eyes and my eyes. We cannot see God from our own point of view. It's impossible. So if we are here, we need to be very happy to be able to know Christ. And with that joy, we can go and make a big impact in the city. Before I go off, I wasn't submitting the mind to Christ. Just an example. Romans 1 verse 22, claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Exchanging the glory of God for images resembling man. The image we serve mostly is what? The one we see in the mirror. And without God's grace, we will exchange the glory of God for more any day. But God's grace makes it possible for us to say, Lord, change me. Change my mind. Because I've got a screw loose. Like Leon Schuster knew years before. You know, he always tells the people, Meneer, he had the screw loose. And that's what I am in a way. I can come to God and say, Lord, you know what? There's something wrong with my mind. Just help me. Change me. Show me your glory, your beauty. Amen. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. So the word acknowledge means to accept or to admit the existence or truth of something. And humans over the past have gone over and over and rather chose humanity above God. Rather chose sin above God and not acknowledging God. So that is the human mind. It's got a bend. It's got a certain posture. It's got a spirit. And it interprets things through this eye. The way of your past, your influences, and maybe your proud heart. And we look and then we make decisions. But those decisions, that spill over when we walk in life, when we go to work, when we go to college, when we walk in and we connect with people, we want to say, Lord, may the spill over, what comes out of me, just automatically, may it be from you. Change me on the inside. Conform me. Right, we can move on there. So what is the remedy? What can we do practically? Applications to us. Titus 3 verse 5 said, He saved us, not because of work done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of the regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason I put this scripture on is that word renewal of the Holy Spirit. That is the only other Greek word that is exactly the same as the one used at Romans 12 verse 2 when it says the renewal of the mind. And it's interesting, Paul, the same writer says the regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So what he's saying is only by the agency of God's Spirit can we change. Okay? We cannot push into this one. We cannot run faster, bench press more, think about it, you know. We cannot. We can only submit. We can ask the Holy Spirit to come alongside us and change us. And by His agency and enabling, we can change. You know, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, it's always my favorite to pray with someone that wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that's so hungry for God. And you know the most important thing we always tell the people, if you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, you must what? You must ask. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. And then as we mature, or maybe it's just true for me, it's almost like I've stopped asking God for things, you know. Lord, I ask you for wisdom. Lord, I ask you to change me. But whenever we work with the Holy Spirit, when we ask, He comes as an agent in our lives. And He starts changing us in different way. And by His agency, we can become transformed into the image of Christ. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit wants to do a double work in our lives. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. So what the Holy Spirit wants to do is, He wants to work in two ways in our lives. And it's important for us to know this because then we can say, Lord, help. I'm submitting to this process. Firstly, the Holy Spirit wants to work from the outside in. He wants to show us God. He wants to show us God's glory in a way, reveal it to us. But for us to see that, for us to comply or to accept, He needs to also work from the inside out and soften our hearts so that we can say, when we see what is revealed, we can say, yes, Lord, change me. Yes, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to go. I can hear you calling me, Lord, and I submit to you. But what if the Holy Spirit only worked in one way? What if He only showed us from the outside in? Would we not reject God and exchange His image for this life and this purpose? And what if the Holy Spirit only worked from the inside and worked almost a desire for you to grasp onto something bigger? What will we grab onto? Now, we see people every day grabbing onto different things in this world. But when the Spirit comes, He works in us so that we can choose, but He also fills us. He also gives us that fullness we long for. So that changed my prayer life. So when I pray, I say, Holy Spirit, next slide, there we can go on. I say, show me Christ exalting truth. Show me the way closer to God. Change me. Because I want to move. And this is very important. To study God, to worship God, and to see, I mean, what is the glory of God? It's very hard to define. One cannot put it in a box. It's not a pen or a packet of chips. What is the glory of God? It's something you see when you're there alone and you're on your knees and you're saying, Lord, I worship you and I love you, but there's no immediate benefit from worshiping God in a human sense. Hear me out. It's much more beneficial to go to work and make money in a human sense, if you see what I'm saying. So to worship God, to take something from us, it takes time. But it also takes focus. And therefore, this is very hard, but I'm sure you will agree with me because I must say it to myself as well. My question is, can the lazy man get close to God? It must be very hard because it takes focus. It takes time. It takes conversation. Lord, change me. I want to be like you. Show me your glory. So I pray, Lord, show me Christ exalting truth. But give me truth embracing humility. So that when I see your will, when I see what you have for me, that I will be man enough to say, yes, Lord. Make me more like you. Transform me. Amen. So to sum up, if we want to be free as Christians, and if we want to enjoy serving the Lord with a smile and wake up to see His face, it is not natural to feel that way. One has to be touched by God. One has to be transformed into another person that loves to serve God, that loves to be a friend to someone that cannot give you anything at all. That must be Christ-inspiring. But isn't it amazing news that you and I can be free while serving God, submitting this life to God and say, Lord, if you touch me, I can be free. If you touch me, I can do wonderful works for you. Amen. So what I want to do is I just want us to stand up. And I would love just some self-facilitators to be in front. And if you just feel led where you stand on your own, if you feel led that you want to move from a place, wherever you're at, to another place, you want to shift your mind closer to God. Or maybe you feel you tonight. Maybe you can honestly say, Lord, I'm proud. I'm so proud I don't want to yield. Maybe God just wants to touch you tonight. If you're a Christian and you're in bondage, you feel like Christianity is so hard. It takes so much. Then I want you to feel free and just come to the front and just tell someone, pray for me for this because it's so hard on me. Amen? But I'm not going to make an altar call. I want the facilitators...